You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. And we had a wonderful class hour this morning at Tabernacle. If you do not have a Bible class to attend, we want to encourage you to come to Tabernacle Bible class. We've expanded. We thank the Lord for that. And I'm so grateful for all the work that went into that. Brother Luke Flood and the Nichols family sings that song, you know, Let's Build the Wall. And I think he went into the room there a few weeks ago with a sledgehammer and said, let's tear down the wall. And with some college guys, but I appreciate Brother Hernandez. He spent quite a bit of time this week in there. And of course, Brother Gong, and he's been in there with a lot of work to do. Brother John Morris Jr., and I appreciate him and all of his work, and what a blessing that has been. And of course, Brother Reyes, he's always working around here, and things are looking great. I did see Brother Sarabia pop in to look at the carpet, and then I think he smelled some good food, and I said, I'm going to get a picture of you and send it to Brother Martinez. And boy, he snapped back out of the room and said it, hit it right over to Lifeline there. But anyhow, I love our church family, and I mean that sincerely. I had the privilege to spend some time with the Martinez family, a new family in our church that trusted Christ this fall, and his wife and daughter did. And they he attended years ago and rode the bus and was God used the church in his life many years ago, but he texted me this afternoon and just said it was such a blessing to have time together. And I thought to myself, I wish life afforded us the opportunity to just spend time together more often than it does. You know, life is so short and things move so quickly. But I love the services, and I love to have the opportunity to spend that time with you. Want to challenge you to read your Bible, as Pastor talked about as well. And I finished my Bible. I read through more times last year than ever before. And I finished December 31st, the last time, at 11:52 p.m. And I got up on the 31st. I had to read from 2 Peter through Revelation. And I got through quite a bit and into Revelation in the morning. And I was getting ready to go to bed, and I thought, I haven't finished my Bible. And boy, I got to it. And finished up. I was telling my sister Susanna about that this week, and she said, I finished my Bible for the last time at 12:03. And I said, sis, it didn't count. If you finished after midnight, it did not count. But I trust your year is off to a great start. You know, I'm grateful that God always communicates very clearly. I was several years ago, about 3 or 4 years ago, at the Apple store here in the area with my wife and my daughter Joy, And I was looking at the AirPod. I think they're pros, or the ones that have the noise cancellation. I had traveled somewhere and I was trying to listen to a sermon and I didn't have noise cancellation. And so all the background noise was really irritating me. And so I was going to go upgrade my AirPods. I wanted to. And my wife still had the ones with the cords that were connected. And she said, I just want to get some that I can, you know, go on a walk with and put those in my ears. And I got this great thought. It popped into my head. How many of you men know sometimes when a thought pops into your head, it's not always of the Lord? And so I thought to myself, what if I upgraded mine and gave her my old pair? And then it came out my mouth, Brother Reimers. And actually, I should say Brother Fuller. He's the one that was preaching some things that were said. And so it came out my mouth. I said, I should upgrade mine and give you my old ones. And oh my goodness, the look. Not just from my wife, but my daughter standing there, and thought that was a dumb thing to say. And I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit immediately. And I said under my breath, I was really thinking that I said it, but I said it just real quietly. I said, I should upgrade my wife's. And I don't know why for the next few hours, my wife was not happy with me. My daughter was not happy with me. We're on our way home, and I said, what is the matter? And Joy said, well, Dad, you said you should upgrade your wife. And I said, I did not say I should upgrade my wife. I would never want to. You can't upgrade my wife. I've got the greatest wife in all the world. And my wife looks over at me and she said, that's what you said. And I said, I did not. I said, I should upgrade my wife's. And so I had a flashback of watching this cartoon with the kids. The younger generation will get this. I'd watched The Incredibles and I caught that little line in there. I said, honey, you are the greatest good I am ever going to get. And so anyhow, God doesn't miscommunicated. I'm grateful for that. We're going to look at verse 23 here. It starts off by saying, "Thus saith the Lord." And sometimes you'll hear a preacher say, "We need preachers today who will stand and proclaim, 'Thus saith the Lord.'" And it's a wonderful thing when we can just read the Word of God and God says, "Thus saith the Lord." God is very clear to us here, as we know Jeremiah is giving this sermon at the gate there. And this is the sermon that he preaches at the temple gate. And I'd like for you to read two verses with me. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Ready? Begin. "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." Let's bow for prayer tonight. Father in heaven, I love the North Valley Baptist Church. I'm so grateful for this great privilege I have to be a small part of, Lord, what you're doing here. And Lord, you know my heart as I stand before your people in this sacred pulpit tonight. I truly want to be a help and a blessing. And Lord, to be an inspiration this first Sunday night of 2025. And so, Lord, I don't trust myself. I place no confidence in the flesh. I pray that you would cleanse me of any sin that would hinder me from being a channel used of you tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would empty me of self and hide me behind the cross of Calvary. And Lord, I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit to communicate only what you desire to be communicated tonight. And I pray that you would receive glory for what you do in our hearts as we look at your word. And I pray that you would give us what we need this first Sunday night to carry throughout this year and for the rest of our lives is our prayer. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I love those three words there found in verse 24, glory in this. And with the help of the Holy Spirit tonight, I'd like to preach a message entitled Glory in This. I love the message Brother Fenner preached a while back, how to thrive and not survive in 25, you know. And then Brother Reimers preached a powerful message. If you have the right root, you'll have the right fruit. And so I thought about preaching a message on gaining ground for God, but that's not what the Lord directed. And then we had Brother Luke Flood did a great job of listening to that message Wednesday night. What a blessing that was. And don't miss out. And then on Calvary this morning. But just like a child will listen to his father's heart, or maybe us as members would listen to pastor's heart to catch his heart, we need to listen to the heart of God. And Jeremiah gives this message at the temple gate. It's found in chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. And tucked away here in chapter 9, he gives us two verses, these two verses that somewhat stand alone. And he's giving this message of the fact that judgment is going to come to Judah. Many believe that this message was a message that was relayed to a man named Josiah, who became a young king and was used greatly of God to usher in revival in their day. I believe, as sure as I'm standing before you today, that if the people of God in 2025 would live these verses, that God, I believe, could use them in our lives to usher revival in 2025. And 25. There's so many things that we can glory in. I love old trucks. I could spend a lot of time talking about old trucks. Brother Bill Langston was so gracious and kind to me. I don't know how many hoops he had to jump through to get me on insurance and probably spent a fortune for that. But knowing that I love trucks, I've been admiring his truck since I was in college. And a few years back, he got it all set up, and I took my wife on a date, and I'm driving his 54 Ford pickup truck, and I pulled up to a stoplight. I got the window rolled down, and I'm feeling cool. Got my wife slid over by my side. I got the Armstrong heater thrown around her, and this guy pulls up in this lifted pickup. It was a real cool truck, you know, and he looks over at me. He's looking down at me. I thought, don't look down at me, but anyhow, so he's looking down at me, and he says, "Nice truck, Bill." I was having a moment of glory until he said that. And my wife said, "Who's Bill? Why is he calling you Bill?" And so we pulled into the restaurant. We got out of the truck. She looked back at the license plate. It says Bills 54. And he said, oh, that's why. And for a fleeting moment, I was glorying in a possession that wasn't really even mine. And God declares for us tonight that if we have any wisdom, it comes from above. And if we have any wealth, it comes from above. And God declares for us tonight that if we have any true source of discernment and judgment, it must come from above. Many today praise what God abhors and abhors what God adores. And God wants us to know Him and to care about what He cares about. And you can know that you're growing closer to the Lord when you learn, and I learn, to care about what He cares about. Jeremiah is warning a nation that had placed their faith and dependency in their wisdom, in their power, in their wealth, rather than repenting and relying upon the mercy of the Lord. Look back just a chapter, if you would, with me at chapter number 8. At the end of verse 7, it says, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say we are wise and the law of the Lord is with us? This was a serious moment that they found themselves in. And I'm grateful tonight of the mercy of God that's been extended to us as we find ourselves in this moment and this window of grace. Micah chapter 7 verse 18 says, who is like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. I claim that for our nation. He will not turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. We sung about that tonight. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm grateful for the mercy of God. So glory in this tonight, North Valley Baptist Church. Glory means to value, to boast, to praise. And God is saying, don't overvalue, boast, or praise about yourself or your wisdom or your strength. Don't place your self-confidence in your wealth and your wisdom. Let's be careful of self-reliance. And God exposes these areas in the life of many today who are overly consumed and focused on these areas. No amount of education, power, or wealth can guarantee the blessings of God. And this world is dependent upon them and boasts of them. And there's nothing sinful about them in and of themselves. But when we truly know and understand our Almighty God, we put them in their proper place. Our dependency must always be on the Lord. Amen. First of all, tonight, church family, we must seek God's wisdom and be careful not to glory in our wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, Solomon declares, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. James declared in chapter 1 and verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. It's an incredible privilege to gain the wisdom of the Lord. But we're reminded, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Verse 7 tells us. Solomon was so blessed to be granted whatever request he would make of God. And God was so pleased that he asked for wisdom, to have an understanding heart. God was so pleased that he asked for wisdom that God said, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you riches and wealth and honor and long life. And a man that God could give and pour into, all the wisdom he could pour into a man, pens for us under inspiration of the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God found in the pages of the Proverbs. But I'm also reminded, we often talk about a counterfeit, everything God has, Satan has. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that are balanced that we can get off balance with if we're not careful. And just as God gave Solomon all of this wisdom, and we see it poured out in the book of Proverbs, we see the foolishness of man poured out in the next book called Ecclesiastes. God declares for you and I and puts on exhibit for you and I, this is a man that I could give, that I gave all the wisdom I could give to a man. And through the books and pages of Ecclesiastes, these are the best thoughts that he can think, and this is the best that man can do. I would like to have you turn to 1 Corinthians tonight. I'll probably be in two or three chapters. As you hold your spot in Jeremiah chapter 9, the main meat of the message is here in Jeremiah chapter number 9. But I want to quote for you some verses here in chapter 2 and 3 of 1 Corinthians. And if you'll keep your spot there in 1 Corinthians, at the end of the message, I plan to go to chapter 1. And if you look with me at chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, the Bible declares in verse 5 of chapter 2 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And if you'll turn to chapter 3 and look with me at verse 19, it says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men." You see, it is a good thing for us to be reminded that the best of men are men at best. Job 32:9 says, "Great men are not always wise." And that's why the psalmist declared in Psalm 33:11, "The counsel of the Lord standeth forever." We should seek wisdom, but not glory in wisdom. We should be strong, but not glory in our might. I don't know about you, but I believe that when we have a president in the White House that has a biblical worldview and is a very strong individual, that the world is a safer place. I just don't believe the inauguration can come fast enough. But we must be reminded that our faith is not in the strength of our military might. Goliath was a very strong man who mocked David. Proverbs 20, verse 9, "The glory of the young man is their strength, and the beauty of the old man is the gray head." You see, God is not impressed with our strength. David was reliant upon God in 1 Samuel 17. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines of this day into the fowls of the air, into the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he giveth it unto our hands." You see, when we begin to trust in our own wisdom and our own strength, the Lord will remind us often who is in charge. If you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25 says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." We should not only seek wisdom and not glory in wisdom, but yes, we ought to be strong but not glory in our might. But we ought to be good stewards without glorying in our wealth or riches. God's word teaches us to be a good steward and to save. But Proverbs 23:5 reminds us, "Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle towards heaven." God is not impressed with our accumulation of possessions or wealth. Yes, we must be good stewards, but we must not ever place our faith in our possessions or our wealth. "For a man's life consisteth not," Jesus said, "in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Some think that life is all about stuff, but it is not. It's about loving God and serving people. I'd rather use things and love people than love things and use people. Job had great possessions in chapter 1. 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 donkeys. He was the greatest of all the men of the east. And when God took it all away from him in verse 20 and 21, he rent his mantle, he shaved his head, And he worshiped the Lord and said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." But there's an Old Testament story of a man who violated all three of these. You study the book of Esther, and you look at a man named Haman. I don't have time to take you to this passage, but if you study chapters 3 and chapters 5, you find that Haman was so full of self-glory, self-reliance, and pride. You see, with his wisdom, he made a plan to get rid of not only Mordecai, but the entire Jewish nation. With his might and his power, he executed his plan by passing legislation to annihilate the Jews. Boy, there's always been a hatred of God's people, the Jews. With his riches and security and his wealth there, chapter 3 and verse 13 declare for us that in doing this, he was going to enrich himself even more. But in chapter 5 of Esther, verse 11, and Haman told him of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children, all things that were wherein the king had promoted, and how he advanced him above all the princes of the servants of the king. But his wife Zeresh begins to talk to him and tells him to make a gallows. So he makes this gallows, and you know the story. He caused the gallows to be made, and he ends up hanging on his own gallows. Proverbs 26 and verse 27, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him." Now, I don't know about you, but I want to glory in the wisdom of God in even these verses, because, Pastor, we're seeing that unfold from where we were 4 years ago in our nation today. But in 2025, let the people of God glory in God's wisdom, in God's strength, and in God's wealth. And may we run from those who glory in their own. As we come back to Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise," here it is, "loving kindness." Aren't you thankful that we have a loving and a kind God who is almighty, who is all wise? What a wonderful God that we serve. This reminds me of parenting and quoting to our children from Ephesians 4, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." That's foundational to the child of God. And God delights in loving kindness, but he also delights in judgment. And sometimes we forget that God is the one who is the judge. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you're there, he said, "Paul, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment." He said, "I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and shall every man have praise of God." Amen. Amen. Proverbs 29, 26, "Every man's judgment cometh from the Lord." To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. And I'm praying for a day that we will have a department of justice again instead of a department of injustice. Jesus said in John 7, 24, "Judge not according to the appearance. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Judge not according to the appearance, John 7, 24, "but judge righteous judgment." As we seek to judge righteous judgment, let us remember the words of our Lord in John 7, verse 2, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." We are so quick to judge everyone else. But if you and I in 2025, did I say 2024? Okay, 2025. Anyhow, all of a sudden my brain was telling me I said 2024. Sometimes my mother always said, "You know what I mean and not what I said," right? That's sometimes how I feel. But if we would judge ourselves, more harshly than we judge others. And we would judge ourselves according to the Word of God. We would move a lot closer to revival. Romans 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 2 and verse 1, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou judgest, thou that judgest doeth the same things. See, God delights in loving kindness, and he delights in judgment, and frankly, outside of this book, we have no discernment and no judgment. But look with me at the third item he mentions here, virtue. Not only does he delight in loving kindness and in judgment, and then he uses the word righteousness. I'm thankful that we place our faith in Jesus Christ. He imputes his righteousness to us. I wish that I had time to develop this message the way that I want to develop, and I've got so much to say about all of these things. But as Brother Apusin was preaching this morning, I was reminded that this really is a picture of Jesus Christ. As he hung on the cross, we see his loving, for God so loved the world, kindness, as he laid down his life for you and me. We see true judgment taking place as the sins of this world were placed on his shoulders on the cross of Calvary. And we see his righteousness that can be imputed to you and I as we trust him as our Lord and Savior. You may be nothing in this world, but if you know God, Jeremiah declared, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You may not be much in this world, but if you know God, my friend, you have reached the highest goal of life. These two wonderful verses here in Jeremiah chapter 9 can stand alone. However, we must remember that they were spoken to a people who had rejected God's word, and as a nation, I'm praying that we will glory in a knowledge and understanding of who God is again. I'm not happy with an economic revival or a political revival. We need to use this moment of grace to open the eyes of the blind spiritually. And we must be reminded that our glory, our strength is not in Washington, it's not in Wall Street, it's not in the stock market, it's not in the economy, it's not in the White House, it's not with our military. Our glory must be in the Lord himself. Amen. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You cannot know God apart from the Word of God. Maybe you could argue with me. I know some saints of God who are very godly people, and Paul declared, we are his epistle, known and read of all men. Yes, you are a picture of who God is, the Word of God, to this world. But Micah declared in chapter 6 and verse 8, he that he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And may we be a people who know God and make him known in 2025. The greatest way to make him known is to know him. Let's look at one more passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll pick it up in verse 27. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, say it with me, let him glory in the Lord. I'd like to ask you as we close out to turn to 336 in your hymnal there. I love this song, Near the Cross. Jesus, keep me near the cross, there a precious fountain. free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Brother Galvan, could we play this? 336, I'm not sure where you're at back there. As he comes, I want to leave this last illustration with you. I'll think of the three Hebrew children. They stood before the king and they said, we're not going to bow down, king. And they said, our God is able. We know him. But if not, we're still not bowing down. Now, that's real faith, right? They got tossed into that burning fiery furnace. The king looks in and says, didn't we throw three men bound? I see four men loosed, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The only thing the fire burned off them is what the world put on them. And I guarantee it, when they came out of that fire, Brother Cooper, they could say, I'm going to glory in this, that I understand and know the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.